All right, so you ready for this? We're going deep today on just chapter 14
Oh, okay.
from The Cholesterol Myth.
Okay.
This is the book
Okay.
by journalist Dan DeWitt, a Dutch journalist.
I see.
And it's interesting because it's 17 chapters. So this is just
Yeah.
one little piece of the
Yeah.
puzzle. And we're focusing specifically on this chapter because this is the chapter that you flagged for
Yes.
me.
Yes.
And it really focuses on statins and this thing called CoQ10.
Yeah, CoQ10, coenzyme Q10.
Okay.
It's really interesting what DeWitt does. He kind of dives right into the
Yeah.
sort of the I guess the complications with statins.
Yeah.
Statins, they're very commonly prescribed to lower cholesterol, right?
Right.
But they might have some unintended consequences. And specifically, he focuses on how they affect the production of coenzyme Q10 or CoQ10.
Okay, I'll be honest with you. I don't know a lot about CoQ10, so
Yeah.
break it down for me. Like,
Yeah.
what is CoQ10? Why is it important? Why should I care if statins are messing with it?
So CoQ10, think of it as kind of like this little tiny worker inside each of your cells. It's vital for energy production, particularly in the muscles. And as we all know, the heart, that's a muscle.
Yeah, it's a very important muscle.
That's a big one, a very important muscle. And
So
so,
less CoQ10 would mean less energy for my heart.
exactly.
Okay.
The chapter actually highlights this really interesting study by Professor Harumi Okiyama and his team. They found that statins actually reduce the body's ability to produce
Oh, wow.
CoQ10.
So it's blocking my body from making something that it needs.
Yes, and what's even more concerning is that this reduction
Yeah.
could lead to long-term damage to your heart.
Wow, so that's not good. And I know that the chapter kind of goes on to talk about supplementing with CoQ10.
Yeah.
Can I reverse any damage if I've been taking statins? Or is it
That's a good
once the
question.
damage is done, it's done?
So DeWitt presents research that suggests that supplementing with CoQ10 and importantly stopping the statin use
Right.
can help repair some of the damage. So it's giving your body back the tools that it needs to function properly.
Wow, so that's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's not even just preventing further damage, it's actually potentially
The tone.
undoing some of the harm that's already been done.
That's what some of the research is suggesting.
Okay.
But obviously, this isn't medical advice or anything like that.
Of course, yeah.
Always talk to your doctor.
Yeah, this is purely for educational purposes.
Yes.
So we're talking about CoQ10 being depleted by statins.
Yeah.
That's obviously not good.
Yeah.
But CoQ10 also does more than just help with energy production, right?
It does.
Like, what else does it do?
It's kind of like a multi-talented superhero.
Okay.
It's a powerful antioxidant. It fights off those free radicals.
Oh yeah, free radicals. Those are the things that age us, right?
That age, they also cause a whole host of other health issues.
Okay.
So you really want to protect yourself from those.
So this is what CoQ10 does.
It's on the front lines. It's like it's fighting the battle against the free radical damage. And there's actually some research by a guy named Dr. Gianpaolo Lettaru,
Okay.
who found that CoQ10 could help combat some of those unpleasant side effects
Oh, interesting.
of the statins muscle pain.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, memory problems, fatigue.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of people, they focus on like heart attack and stroke and all that scary stuff,
Right.
but they don't think about the fact that these side effects can really like affect your daily life.
Absolutely. Yeah,
You
yeah.
know, like if you're having muscle pain all the time, you're not gonna be able to get out and
Oh,
exercise.
viewer,
Or
sad,
if you're
yeah.
having brain fog, you're not gonna be able to think clearly and do your job.
Right.
So yeah, so if CoQ10 can help with that, that's huge.
For sure.
Okay, so we've got this issue with statins depleting CoQ10. We know that's not good.
Right.
But then on top of that,
Yeah.
our natural production of CoQ10 is
Yeah.
down with age.
It declines, especially after 30.
Not good news.
It's like your internal factory starts to slow down.
So what do we do?
Well, and if you combine that natural decline with the depletion from the statins,
Right.
it really highlights the importance of supplementing.
Right. So if I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, okay, I need to get on the CoQ10 train. What is the recommended dosage?
Sure.
What
Yeah.
are we talking about here?
So he brings up experts like Australian cardiologist Ross Walker and American cardiologist Stephen Sinatra, who suggest 100 to 300 milligrams daily
Okay.
if you are taking statins. And for older adults in general, they
Yeah.
recommend bumping that up to around 300.
Okay, but wait, there's more than one type of CoQ10, right?
There is.
I feel like I've heard that somewhere.
There's ubiquinol and ubiquinone.
Okay, so what's the difference?
So Dr. William Judy,
mm-hmm.
He suggests that ubiquinone might be better absorbed by older adults.
Oh, interesting.
And he recommends about 100 milligrams a day for general health.
Okay.
Up to 400 for people with heart conditions.
Okay, so we've got a little bit of a choice to make here.
Right.
Ubiquinone, what dosage?
Yeah, definitely talk to your doctor.
Talk to your doctor for sure.
Figure out.
Get personalized advice.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now we're going to get into some really spicy territory because DeWitt introduces us to Dr. Peter Langsjohn, a cardiologist and biochemist who has done a lot of research on CoQ10.
Oh, interesting.
And he's not a fan of statins.
He's not.
He is not a fan of statins. So I want to know why. Tell me all about Dr. Langsjohn and his beef with statins.
So he argues that statins actually worsen the very problem that they're supposed to solve.
Okay, how so?
Well, the major thing is this impact on CoQ10, right?
Yeah, we've been talking about
statins that. Block the production of CoQ10.
Right.
And Dr. Langsjohn says that that creates this ripple effect.
Oh, like a domino effect?
Yeah, a domino effect of negative consequences.
Okay, what kind of negative consequences?
So he outlines three main ways that statins could be making things worse. First, that interference with CoQ10 production.
Right. We talked about that.
Second, he says that statins negatively impact vitamin K2, mm-hmm. which is important for heart health.
Mm-hmm.
And third, they reduce something called selenoprotein P.
Okay.
And selenoprotein P is responsible for transporting that CoQ10 throughout your body.
So even if I'm supplementing with CoQ10, if I'm taking statins.
Right.
It might not even be getting to where it needs to go.
That's what he's saying.
Okay.
He thinks statins are disrupting the balance of our system.
Wow. That's a pretty strong argument. How does he treat his own heart track? What is it?
Ooh,
does it say anything about that?
Yeah. So he uses a protocol that starts with a high dose of ubiquinol, about 400 milligrams.
Okay.
And then reducing to 200 milligrams for maintenance.
Oh, interesting. So it's fascinating how different approaches come up when you start digging into this.
Absolutely.
Like we have conventional medicine with statins.
Right.
And then you have these researchers who are kind of like questioning that and offering alternatives.
Yeah.
It definitely makes you think.
It does.
Now, this is where it gets really interesting. DeWitt goes into the history of statins, specifically the first commercial one, Mevacor.
Right.
And the development of this drug was based on research into something called mevagalinate, which is a precursor.
Yeah.
To both cholesterol and CoQ10.
Kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, they're targeting mevalonate to lower the cholesterol, but in doing so, they're also impacting that CoQ10 production.
So they knew from the get-go that if they blocked mevalonate,
it seems so,
it would affect both cholesterol and CoQ10.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big deal. And then here's where it gets even weirder.
Okay.
Merck,
yeah.
The company that made Mevacor,
yeah.
They filed patents back in 1986.
Really?
That combined statins with CoQ10.
Wow.
So they knew.
They recognized the problem.
They knew about the problem.
Yeah.
They knew that they could potentially combine it with CoQ10 to mitigate the side effects.
That's so interesting.
But they never brought it to market. Why not? I don't know. DeWitt doesn't tell us.
Yeah.
But it definitely makes you wonder.
It does.
And speaking of things that make you wonder, there's this anecdote about Akira Endo, who actually created the first statin,
really?
Called Mevastatin. And apparently when he got high cholesterol later in life, he chose lifestyle changes.
Interesting.
Overtaking his own invention.
Wow.
That's even the guy who invented statins.
Yeah.
Was like,
want to take them?
Yeah. Like, maybe not.
Wow.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about CoQ10.
Yeah.
How statins are depleting and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But then DeWitt throws in another thing.
What's that?
Selenium.
Okay.
What's the connection?
So selenium is a mineral, and it works synergistically with CoQ10.
Okay.
Meaning they kind of boost each other's effectiveness.
Oh, interesting.
They're like a team
dynamic duo.
Dynamic duo.
Okay, so what happens if I'm deficient in selenium?
So it can hinder the availability and the effectiveness of CoQ10 and vice versa.
Got it. Okay.
They're like partners in a dance. If one is off balance,
yeah,
the whole routine is off.
So they need to work together.
They got to work together.
Okay. DeWitt actually even mentions this Swedish study by Professor Urban Allehagen that showed some pretty remarkable benefits for older adults who took both CoQ10 and selenium.
Like what?
A reduced risk of cardiovascular mortality.
Wow, that's big.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
Okay, so we're coming to the end of part one here of our deep dive into chapter 14.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of wrap up with Professor Okuyama and his team
mm-hmm.
because they said something pretty intense.
Yeah.
They labeled statins as mitochondrial toxins.
Whoa.
Because of their detrimental effects on energy production.
On our cells.
In our cells.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a pretty strong statement.
It is.
And it really makes you think about, you know, statins lower cholesterol.
Right.
But what else are they doing?
Exactly. What are the other consequences?
Yeah. And it really shakes things up. Okuyama recommends considering replacing statins with omega-3s.
Wow.
Healthy fats that we get from fatty fish and fish oil.
That's a bold statement.
Bold statement. And DeWitt makes it clear, this is not something to do without talking to your doctor.
Of course not.
But it's an idea that he throws out there.
It's interesting to think about.
It's very interesting to think about.
It is.
So we're going to leave it there for now.
Okay.
We're going to come back with part two, and we're going to dig into this even further. So stay tuned.
All right. I'm excited.
I am too.
Yeah.
Okay. So welcome back to our deep dive into chapter 14 of the cholesterol myth.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but my head is spinning after all that CoQ10 stuff.
It's a lot to process for sure. And it really makes you question some of the conventional wisdom about cholesterol and heart health.
Absolutely. And you know, speaking of challenging conventional wisdom,
yeah,
the chapter touches on something else that I found really interesting.
What's that?
This idea that statins could actually be impacting our cells on a deeper level. Like,
right.
It talks about mitochondria, which I vaguely remember from high school biology.
Yeah.
They're like the power plants of our cells, right?
It's a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
Mitochondria are responsible for producing energy within each cell.
Okay.
And the chapter really kind of digs into this idea that statins could be disrupting that process.
So if my mitochondria aren't working properly, what does that mean for my health?
Well, it's not just about heart health. You know, every single cell in your body relies on mitochondria to function.
Right.
So if statins are interfering with that, it could contribute to a whole range of issues.
Okay. So we're talking muscle fatigue, brain fog, like...
Yeah, and even more serious conditions.
Okay.
Potentially, there's a lot of research going on right now looking at the link between statins and mitochondrial dysfunction.
Wow. And some pretty scary stuff like muscle pain, cognitive decline.
Yeah.
Even increased risk of certain cancers.
It's definitely something to be aware of.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it really makes you think about those long-term consequences of taking statins. Like, are we trading one risk for another?
It's a good question, and that's why it's so important to talk to your doctor.
Absolutely.
You know, have a balanced and informed conversation about the potential benefits and risks of any medication.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there's no one-size-fits-all approach here.
Definitely not.
And you really have to weigh the pros and cons.
For sure.
The chapter also emphasizes this idea that our bodies are like these incredibly complex systems.
Right.
Everything's interconnected. It's not just about cholesterol levels.
It's about how all these different pieces fit together.
And the chapter gives a good example of that when it talks about how statins can negatively impact vitamin K2.
Yes.
Now, I need you to break this down for me because I'm not really sure I understand, like, what's the whole calcium in the arteries thing?
Okay, so vitamin K2, it's really important for calcium regulation.
Okay.
It basically prevents calcium from building up in your arteries.
And why is that a problem?
Because it leads to something called arterial calcification,
okay,
which is the hardening of the arteries.
Okay, I've heard of that.
And that's a major contributor to heart disease because it restricts blood flow and makes your heart work harder.
Got it. So if statins are messing with my vitamin K2, they could actually be indirectly contributing to arterial calcification, which then increases my risk of heart disease.
It's possible.
But wait, statins are supposed to protect my heart.
It's complicated.
It's so confusing.
It really highlights the complexity of this whole issue.
Yeah, it's like we're peeling back the layers of an onion, and with each layer, we're finding more potential problems.
And more questions.
And more questions. Okay, so one thing that keeps coming up in this chapter is inflammation.
Yes.
I've heard about inflammation before, but I'm not sure what it means in the context of heart disease.
Okay, so inflammation is basically your body's natural response to injury or irritation.
Okay.
It's a part of your immune system, but when inflammation becomes chronic.
Like ongoing.
Ongoing. Yeah, it doesn't resolve. It can actually start to cause damage throughout your body, including in your arteries.
So it's like a slow burning fire that's constantly damaging my tissues.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Okay, and DeWitt says that statins, in some cases, can actually trigger an inflammatory response.
Right.
Hold. So on one hand, statins are supposed to be lowering my cholesterol, protecting my heart.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, they could be fueling inflammation.
Potentially.
Which is a major driver of heart disease.
It's one of the paradoxes.
It's a lot to take in.
It is.
Honestly, this whole conversation is making me realize how much I don't know about my own body.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I need to do some more research and talk to my doctor about all this.
That's great. I mean, the more we understand about our bodies and the medications we take, the better equipped we are to make good decisions.
Okay, so before we move on, I want to touch on that whole thing about how statins were developed and the whole missed opportunity to combine them with CoQ10 from the beginning.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
It's like a conspiracy theory.
It is a bit strange.
So remember how the first statin, mevastatin, it was derived from a fungus? And the research that led up to that discovery focused on mevalonate.
Yeah.
Which we now know is a precursor to both cholesterol and CoQ10.
Right.
So they knew all along.
It looks like they did.
That blocking mevalonate would impact both.
Right.
And then they filed patents in the 1980s for a combination of statins and CoQ10.
They did.
So they knew about the problem.
Yeah.
They knew they could potentially fix it.
It seems so.
But they never brought it to market.
That's so weird.
I know. And DeWitt doesn't really give us any answers.
That's a mystery.
Yeah, it's a mystery, but it definitely makes you wonder.
For sure. It
does. It's like we've stumbled upon a puzzle with a few missing pieces.
Yeah.
We've got all these clues about statins, CoQ10, the pharmaceutical industry.
Right.
But we're left to kind of speculate about the bigger picture.
It's a good reminder that there are a lot more questions than answers sometimes.
It's true, and it's kind of frustrating.
I know.
But also kind of exciting.
Yeah, it
is. Because, I mean, there's still so much to learn.
There's so much we don't know.
Yeah. This whole deep dive has felt like a detective story.
I know, right?
Like we're uncovering clues, trying to piece together the truth about cholesterol.
About statins.
About scatins, about how our bodies actually work.
Absolutely.
And it's a story that's still unfolding.
It is. We're learning more all the time.
All right, so we're going to wrap up part two here.
Okay.
But don't worry, there's more to come in part three.
Can't wait.
We're going to explore some alternative approaches to heart health.
Oh, interesting.
And we're going to dive into that fascinating world of omega-3s.
Sounds good.
So stay tuned.
All right.
Okay, so we're back for the final part of our deep dive into chapter 14 of the cholesterol myth.
All right.
We've been through a lot.
We have.
Potential downsides of statins, the importance of CoQ10, all that fun stuff.
It's been a journey.
It has been a journey, but DeWitt doesn't just leave us hanging with a bunch of warnings.
No, he does.
He also talks about some alternative approaches to heart health. And there's one in particular that really stood out to me.
What was that?
Professor Okiyama's suggestion to consider replacing statins with omega-3 fatty acids.
Yeah, that was a pretty bold statement.
It was bold. And I was like, whoa, hold on a second. Omega-3s,
right,
the healthy fats from fish.
Yeah.
Could they really be a viable alternative?
Yeah. Could they really be a viable alternative?
That's the question, isn't it?
That's the question. So what do you think?
Well, it's certainly controversial.
Okay.
And the chapter emphasizes that this is not a decision to be made lightly.
Of course. Yeah.
Always talk to your doctor.
Always talk to your doctor.
Before making any changes to your medication.
But the fact that he even suggests it.
It's interesting.
It's interesting. So let's break it down. What makes omega-3 so good for our hearts?
So omega-3 fatty acids, they have this wide range of positive effects on your cardiovascular system.
Okay.
They can help reduce inflammation. They can lower triglycerides.
Mm-hmm.
They can improve blood vessel function.
Wow.
They can even help regulate heart rhythm and lower blood pressure. So they're kind of like a multi-pronged attack against all these heart disease risk factors.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's not just about lowering cholesterol.
Right.
It's about addressing all these different things that contribute.
The bigger picture.
To heart health.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Okay, and I know that the chapter talks about this balance between omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids.
Yeah, that's important.
Can you explain that a bit more?
So omega-6 fatty acids are also essential for health.
Okay.
But the problem is most modern diets are way too heavy on the omega-6s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're found in a lot of processed foods, vegetable oils.
Okay, so even though we need some, it's about getting that right balance.
Exactly. The goal is to shift that ratio in favor of the omega-3s.
Okay.
Okiyama actually co-authored a study back in 2004 that really highlighted how important this balance is.
Okay, so how do we get more omega-3s? Is it just fish oil supplements? Or?
Well, fish oil supplements are a convenient way to increase your intake. But I always recommend getting nutrients from whole food sources whenever possible.
Like actual fish?
Actual fish, yeah. Fatty fish like salmon, mackerel, sardines.
Yeah, I love salmon.
Right. And they not only provide the omega-3s, but they also come with a bunch of other important nutrients like protein, vitamins, minerals.
Yeah. So it's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
All right. Well, this deep dive into chapter 14 of the cholesterol myth has been eye-opening, to say the least.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about.
It's definitely given me a lot to talk to my doctor about.
That's great.
We've explored the complexities of cholesterol.
The risks and benefits of statins.
The crucial role of CoQ10.
The importance of balance.
Yeah. And it's clear that this is not a simple issue.
No easy answers.
And this is just one chapter in a much bigger book.
Right.
So if you're interested in learning more,
definitely check out the rest of the book.
Yeah. The Cholesterol Myth by Dan DeWitt.
It's a good read.
It is a good read. And we hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity.
Absolutely.
To explore these topics further. Because remember, your health is a journey.
It is.
And it's a journey best taken with knowledge and awareness.
Couldn't agree more.
All right. So until next time, keep diving and keep questioning.
See you then.